Sometimes we want the blessing, but we forget that we've been empowered to be a blessing. Everybody in this room this morning has the ability to release blessing. Blessing, really talking about the empowerment of God to prosper. The empowerment of God to live in your destiny. So, as we convene another school year, this past week, most of our students got back in the grind, right? They're back in school. Friday night football has already begun. Kids are back in the routine. Moms and dads, aren't you thankful? But blessings need to be sought by all of us. But no blessing that we can experience will ever exceed that of the privilege of releasing a blessing. You know, we somehow have to change things around. When the Holy Spirit began to correct the church because we were so poverty-minded, you know, we were so lack in our thinking, we had to learn about prosperity. But you know what we did? We took that pendulum and we swung it completely way over too far. And so we're all looking for the blessing. You know, you often ask people, how are you doing? Well, I'm blessed. You know, I think we need to start hearing, hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm releasing blessing. I know we're blessed, and there's nothing wrong with saying that. But I think we need to get to a point now where we can say, I'm in a place of my faith that I'm releasing blessing, and I'm not just looking for blessings. It's a mark of maturity in the body of Christ. There's a shift in the church, you know. God's really wanting us to become more kingdom-minded instead of church-minded. It's not just about our church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's not just about my life. It's about all of God's people, because we have a responsibility. Thy kingdom come. He never said, thy church come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. He said, I want to bless you that you could be a blessing. Those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. That's a tremendous promise that God gave Abraham and to you and me, because we are really in that same covenant through Jesus Christ. We have the blessings of Abraham upon our life. And if that be the case, then we need to start releasing that blessing. So I wanted to challenge us today, as we begin a new school year, to learn, mom and dad, how to bless your children. Husbands, I want to challenge us to learn how to release a blessing into our wife. And vice versa. Into our relationships and to those that we've come in contact with. Because you in your spirit possess the power to bless. It's a real prophetic release in this last hour, because God wants the empowerment of increase to come to every one of our lives. There has to be a transfer of what we possess into others. And if we can develop that kind of mentality, it's wonderful to see someone, you know, it's almost a cliche in church. They come through the door, it's good morning or happy Sunday. Responses I often get is, God bless you. And I'm so glad to get the God bless you. But sometimes the God bless you at the greeting at the door or somewhere else in the marketplace is almost on the same level of when I sneeze, someone says, God bless you. It's kind of shallow, or maybe it's without substance or without purpose. And so my goal in the next few minutes is to give you an outline of what it is to release a blessing. When you say, I bless you in Jesus' name, what is that establishing? What is that creating? What happens literally in the realm of the Spirit around that individual who is the recipient of your release of blessing? That's what we want to look at. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 27, verses 2 through 4. Genesis 27, 2 through 4. Then he said, "Behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and make me savory food such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." This is Isaac wanting to release his blessing. But I want you to see something that's real key here. He wasn't blessing him with just part of his soul. He said, "My entire soul wants to bless you." It wasn't just words. It wasn't a mental declaration, "I bless you." But it was with his mind, his will, and his emotions. Jacob was about to receive from Isaac the entirety of the blessing that rested on him from his father Abraham, that was given directly from God, that was now about to be imparted into his son. You and I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be sitting here today feeling defeated, maybe depressed, maybe sidetracked, maybe a little bit confused, maybe a little bit down in the dumps. But that does not change the fact that you possess Christ. And if you possess Christ, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that the blessing of Abraham is through Christ and it is in you. And it's time that we learn how to release it into the next generation. Not only them, but in one another. And so Isaac was desirous to do this. He said, "I want to release this thing. I've got to give this thing to you." Isaac desired for his son to have a heart of passion and a life of influence for God. I really believe that when we release this blessing with understanding, it will change the lives of those who we bless. You want to see your children changed? Release this blessing into their life. You say, "How often should I do it?" Every opportunity you get. Every morning before they get on the bus, every night before they go to bed, get your hands, lay it upon their heads, and declare through the authority of God's Word, "I bless you." I want us to understand what is the substance of this blessing. Because you see, the natural response to the way people treat us is not to be a blessing, but to curse them. Look at Luke chapter 6. Verse 28, Jesus said this: "Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you." Well, that's the last person I want to bless. I want to curse them because they deserve it. And God said their only hope is to receive a blessing because they are operating in a curse. And how many know that the blessing of God is more powerful than the curse of the devil? Do you know that? Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, look at somebody and say, "The blessing is more powerful than the curse." How do we know that? Because Jesus became a curse for us by hanging on the tree that He might break the back of the curse. You and I, when we possess Jesus, have the ability to break the back of the curse. And it's through releasing the blessing. Romans 12, verse 14. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he echoes the words of Christ. He says this: "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." He's saying, don't come in agreement with the God of this world. The God of this world wants to curse this generation. The God of this world wants to curse our president. Wants to curse Muslims. He wants to curse Christians. He wants to curse everyone that he can possibly release that curse into their lives. But we have been planted on the earth as the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I don't want you to agree with the voice of cursing. I want you to agree with the voice of blessing. Because you are part of the covenant of the empowerment of God in the earth. So those who are under a curse can come out from under a curse when we who are out from under the curse release the blessing into their lives. How many know every day of this day, in this age, the devil is wanting to curse your children from the time they come out of their womb? He wants to curse them. He wants to send them into an eternal hell. He wants to cause defeat, depression. He wants to cause them to have torment and anguish through the curse that's on the earth. But Jesus Christ broke the curse. But yet the devil doesn't know that he's yet defeated. He still comes back and thinks he's in authority. He thinks he can rule and reign in our homes, our marriages, our children. You know, the other day I was thinking of someone and we were understanding they were having difficulty. And I said, wait a minute, stop. Are you both Christians? They said, yes, we are. I said, then why are you cursing her? Well, she's this and that, and she's this and that, and she's this and that. And you know how she responded? She cursed back. Well, he's this and that, and he's this and that. If I'm this and that, you're that and this. I mean, it was like, whoa. I felt like I had to get my referee shirt on and my whistle. Time out. Go get the boxing gloves. We're in trouble. And they were cursing one another. When you release cursing, then you establish the effects of the curse. That's why we can't be negative. Come on, church. About our city, about our pastor, about our church, about one another, about our home, about our children, about our marriage. It may not be where you want it to be, but you have the power in your spirit to change it. Because if you bless it, it doesn't matter who tries to curse it. God said, what I bless shall be blessed. Failure to bless in this life is to lose one's passion for God. Passionless people are people who fail to bless. To understand the significance of releasing the empowerment of God. We don't want to get caught up like Balaam, who was hired by Balak in Numbers chapter 32. I want you to look at that because you see that Satan attempts to employ you and me to curse other people in our life. You know, it comes natural to do this. I remember as a young boy, I was very angry with my parents one day, and I couldn't believe it. As I look back at it now, I think I must have been possessed by a devil. Really, I mean, my parents loved me. They cared for me. They gave me a home, a bed to sleep in. They gave me food. They loved me and bought me clothes. And, you know, they took care of me. But when they crossed me, I didn't really care about any of that. I remember I would go into my bedroom and slam the door and I would curse my father to hell. So he'd die and go to hell. I didn't know what I was saying. But I look back now and I think, oh God, what came out of my mouth? Did you know it's natural to be a curse? And to operate in one and to release them? Did you know it's natural for us to tell people to be damned? You didn't know that. Y'all looking so sanctified in here. It's amazing how we can so quickly release cursing out of our mouth. And I'm not talking about profanity. That too. But that's exactly what happened. God said to Balaam in verse 12 of Numbers 22, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. You know, this is why I don't understand for the life of me in the church how anybody can speak negative about another Christian. You're not allowed to do that. Did you know that God has blessed me even if you don't like me being blessed? Or you don't think I deserve to be blessed? Or I have done something to lose my blessing in your opinion? Listen, we can't go over here and say that person that's sitting on that far side, thank God we have four sections in this church. Or five. Because I can sit over here and I don't have to look at them. I hate them. They're vile. I don't even think they're saved. I hope they die and go to somewhere. You know, there's people like that in church. In this church? Oh, Lord. Somebody said in this church. No, tell me it's not so. We love everybody, right? Look at somebody and say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Balaam said to Balak, after he had told him, I want you to curse Israel because they're encroaching on my territory. And Balaam went to God, and of course, you know, he couldn't do that as a prophet. And he came back in verse 38 and he said, look, I've come to you now. Have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak. Listen, God's only put certain words in my mouth, and that's blessing. Okay, here's the point. If you find yourself cursing others, or you're negative, then someone other than God has put something in your mouth. Come on, laugh. I mean, it's funny. Right? We've all been there. Now, there are some things I just won't put in my mouth. It's repulsive to me. I won't do that. Some people, they don't care. You know that Fear Factor show that used to be on years ago? Those people were idiots. I mean, they're eating cow eyeballs. I'm not putting that in my mouth. I'm not putting my lips on the udder of a cow. I'm not doing that. I'm not sucking milk out of the cup. I'm not doing that. But it's amazing on some things that we find repulsive in the natural don't repulse us in the spiritual. We'll allow the devil to insert curses. And Balaam said, I am not going to speak anything other than what God puts in my mouth. God will never call you to point out someone else's failure. God will never put in your mouth words to express your dissatisfaction with their performance. God will never put words of gossip in your mouth so that you can clothe it with a prayer request. God doesn't do that. That's what this scripture says, right? I just want you to pray about this, my brother. There were attempts to employ him to curse, and he refused. Look at Numbers 24 and verse 10. Balak's anger aroused against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I've called you to curse my enemies. And look, you've bountifully blessed them these three times. Verse 13, if Balak were to give me this house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord to do good or bad of my own will. What the Lord says, that I must speak. What does the Lord say about us? Dan appropriately spoke it in song this morning. We're the apple of His eye. That's what God has said. Now, when they're getting up late, they didn't get up the time that you told them to get up. They didn't put on the right clothes for school like you laid out and told them to do. They didn't finish their homework, right? They're talking on the phone, and it's only 6:30 in the morning. Like, who in the world can you be talking to at 6:30 in the morning? You missed the bus, and now I have to take you to school, right? So that's the circumstances that will rise to get words in your mouth that are not God's words. Because the devil knows you and I have the power to bless And because we've been empowered to bless, if we'll put His words in our mouth, we also have the power to bring a curse. You idiot, get dressed. No, we don't say that. Who are you talking on the phone with? Is it so-and-so again? I told you not to talk to them, and if I ever catch you again... In other words, we don't even know the facts, and we're already condemning them to a life sentence. We are quick to speak, slow to think. Let's put it this way. We're quick to speak cursing and slow to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. To realize that if I can bless them, if I can release the empowerment of God into their life, it will change them. You and I have to continue to release the blessing and stop doing the devil's dirty work. When we curse others, when we speak ill of others, we are doing the devil's dirty work. I heard recently of a person who heard others speaking negatively about another ethnicity. And how repulsed they were by that. You know, when you get around that kind of thing, it's either you become intimidated and say nothing, or you chime in. It doesn't matter what the issue is. We have a tendency to go with the majority. That's where the shift in the kingdom is taking place, because God has is raising up kingdom-minded people that when they find themselves in those situations, whether it's their children getting ready in the morning for school, or whether it's a group of adults that are talking negatively about another person, they rise up and say, listen, I will not allow those words to come into my mouth. God has saved me to be a blessing. I am releasing blessing now in the name of Jesus. I bless you and I bless them. And I am not going to entertain these words. This person who told me this said, I don't know that you and I can be friends anymore. We have to take more serious what we are hearing and what will ultimately go into our own mouths. Because I've been called to bless. Tell your neighbor, I've been called to bless just like you. Genesis 27:28-29, Isaac, therefore may God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, and the plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, the nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. And blessed be those who bless you. This was the actual blessing that Isaac was releasing. And here's the substance of your blessing that I want to give you. There's a couple of things that are powerful in this portion of Scripture. Number one, we find that he said, I want you to experience the fatness of the earth or the dew of heaven. This speaks of the anointing or the presence of the Spirit of God. So when you and I bless someone, part of our substantive aspect of our blessing is that you would experience the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life today. That's important that you and I echo that same blessing. But he also said that nations bow down to you. This is powerful. He goes on to talk about other aspects of submission. And really, the power of blessing is to position that one that you're blessing in a place of authority, in a place of being above and not beneath. So when I release my children to fruitfulness and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm also blessing them in regards to them having authority. They're not going to be the tail. They're going to be the head. They're not going to be influenced by the peer group for negative. They're going to influence the peer group for the positive. Because it's in my blessing. Amen. So instead of just, ha-chu, God bless you, I'm saying, I bless you in Jesus' name. What does that mean? That you flow in the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the fullness of the Spirit of God. And that your eyes be open to the revelation of who Jesus Christ is fully. Secondly, that you walk in authority, that you be above and not beneath, that you will hear the voice of God and you will be a leader in your generation. So I'm blessing now in a different way. And that's what Isaac was saying to Jacob. He goes on in the third aspect. He said, curse those who curse you. Cursed be those who curse you. In other words, no weapon formed against you will prosper. I bless you. The blessing of God is on you, son. The blessing of God is on you, honey. The blessing of God is on you, church. I bless this church in the name of Jesus. And when I say I bless you because I want you to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I want you to be the head and not the tail. I bless you today because there is a wall of fire around you and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's my blessing. That's your blessing. That's what we release into our families. That's what we release into our children. That's why we must bless the house of God. Not curse the house of God. Bless. Bless. That's how we dig around the tree, even though it hasn't borne fruit, and we make it fruitful because we are actively engaging in releasing God's ability in their life. So I bless you today. I bless every marriage in here that it be fruitful and under the anointing of the fullness of God's Holy Spirit. I bless you today that you have authority and that you not be led around by your own selfish desires and whims. That you not be tantalized. That you not be allured by things of the flesh in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you have an 11-year-old boy, you better learn how to bless him. Because there is a devil that's going to try to curse him. Try to lead him around with a ring in his nose. With naked girls on the internet. So you've got to bless him and break that curse over him. There's children on the corners and in the playground that want to speak words to your children that will bring them into submission. No. Not on my watch. I've got the power of blessing over my kids. They will be the head and not the tail. The wall of fire is about them. What the devil meant for evil, back on you, devil. This is the house of God and we are the blessed of Almighty God. Come on, lift your hand up and thank God for the blessing. Come on, thank God for the blessing. Thank God for the blessing. This is what was released by the patriarchs into their own children. You see, every day of our lives, we must learn to bless. You may not be able to lay hands on them every day, but you can release the blessing. Some of us have adult children. They don't live in my house, but they get slapped with my blessing every day. Some of them don't even know it. The only reason why they're upright and still not, the only reason why they're not in some insane asylum or jail is because of my blessing. Come on. I released in them a blessing. You say, but look, they're still messed up. No, that ain't messed up. Let me release my blessing. Let me remove my blessing. Then you're going to see messed up. They may not be perfect, but they're under the power of my blessing. Come on, church. Don't you give up on your children. I don't care how old they are. Don't you give up on your wife. Don't you give up on your husband. I bless him. Lord, I bless him until his socks fly off in Jesus' name. I bless him. Amen? Blessing will bring you into intimacy. We got to bless. Learn to release it. Not be moved by what we see. Be moved by what they say. It's an amazing thing. People that are candidates for our blessing often want to curse us. Like, you're cursing me. You know I got the power to bless you. And you're cursing me. And then, you know, we get in the flesh. We say, all right then. Curse me, I curse you back. No, Jesus said, no. Bless those who curse you and spitefully use you for my name's sake. For great shall your reward be in heaven. You know you're on to something. When those kids aren't acting right. Come on, they're trying to release a curse back on you. You know you're on to something when they're playing around in the world. When they're not doing right. You know you're on to something. And it's only a matter of time before the blessing overtakes their lives. So keep on blessing. Come on, shout it with me. Keep on blessing. And I got to tell you, sometimes it gets weary. I'm in my prayer. Lord, I bless my children. I know they don't deserve it, God. If I was you, I wouldn't bless them either. But God, you ever feel that way? You're like, oh, God. The way he talked back to me yesterday, I ain't blessing him no more. You ever feel that way? I'm the only one that's ever felt that way. I'm so glad I go to church with all you holy rollers. I feel that way sometimes. Then the Holy Ghost got to remind me, if you don't bless them, who will bless them? You think the mayor's going to bless your baby? You think your teacher's going to bless them? Come on. White House going to bless them? Your house, Main Street, Wall Street, who's going to bless them? You and I've got the power in us to bless them. There was nobody else blessing Jacob but Isaac. Isaac was the only one on the earth that was able to bless Jacob. You've got something in you that your kids got to have. Can't come from the preacher. Can't come from the deacon or from some other household. It's got to come from you. Now, I know it's Sunday morning and I'm getting a little excited, but I get a little excited on Thursday night. By the way, we do church on Thursday night. I hope you all can come sometime. I got to hurry. Some of y'all like, all right, where am I at? Genesis 27, verse 20 to 26. It's an amazing thing what Isaac did. He said, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? He said, because the Lord, your God, brought it to me. You know, he's conniving. He won't go there. Next verse. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near. Say that with me. Please come near. Your blessing your kids will draw them to you. If you don't bless them, they'll get further and further away. But when you bless them, it's like a magnet. Oh, you over again, huh? Now, you hungry? Well, that's why you come over. What, you need money? Why are you here? Come on. Some of you fans, you know what I'm talking about. No, it's not any of that. It's because you've been blessing them. They don't even know. They think it's the money. They think it's because they're hungry. But they're just coming around you because they come near. He said, what? That I may feel you. When you bless your kid, you will begin to feel what they're feeling. He said, come over here. I need to check you out to see if, whether you're my son or who you are. Go to the next verse. And he did not recognize him. So Jacob went near Isaac, his father. Y'all playing with me. But I bless you. Go back one. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him, and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are hands of Esau. Next verse. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed them. So he blessed them. You see, when you extend the invitation, you will create proximity. Your child may be in California or serving in Afghanistan, but your blessing creates proximity to you. The devil may think he's got this circumstance all messed up. Whether he's or she's on drugs or behind bars or living a promiscuous lifestyle, my blessing creates proximity and connection. In verse 27, he came near and he kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing. And he blessed him and he said, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. The kiss was symbolic of intimacy. Don't ever cut the rope of proximity to your sons and daughters. Don't let curses be put in your mouth. Don't say to them, you've cooked your goose. You're not my son or daughter. I never want to see you again. Don't say those words. It's like the lifeline in outer space on a spacewalk. They drift into obscurity, never to be recovered. Put the scissors or knife down and learn that your blessing is drawing them to you. Don't be moved by what you see or even by what they say. Not long ago, I heard a young lady in our church say, I don't believe in God. And I don't want to go to church. She was raised in church. This is a time to ignore what she's saying and create proximity by what you're saying. As we embark on this new school year, may I invite all of us as grandparents, create proximity to your grandchildren. They need you. No, your job's not over. Not till you take your last breath. My wife's been reading The Journey of Billy Graham, and he says, one regret I have is that I didn't spend more quality time with my grandkids. If I could go back and do that, I would like to have learned to bless them more. It might be only 5 crumpled up dollar bills, but when you look at them and say, come here, sweetie. Papa's got something for you. you go buy an ice cream or something. Here, take this $5. Now, to you and me, it's like, $5. What am I going to get for $5? Is that all you've got? I know you got more in there. Come on. Some more cash. What you're doing is you're creating with that blessing proximity of that child's heart to your heart. And you're creating a nearness that they could never get away from. You know, some of us have tried to sin, haven't we? Some of you have done more than try. Don't look at anybody. Just look straight ahead right now. I ain't looking at you. Stop looking at me. As much as we try to drift, we can't get away from Him, can we? Jesus has blessed us. And even though I've sinned, I'm like, I got to go back. I got to go back. There's something drawing me back. Back to Him, because He's created a nearness in my life that I can never forget Him. Let's all make a covenant to be a blessing. Amen? Let's look for someone to bless today, this morning, with that understanding of a protection, of elevation, of authority, of fullness of the Holy Ghost. Church, we've got so much to release. And I want to encourage all you parents, all of you. Never stop blessing your children. They deserve it. Regardless of what they've said to you, how they walked out on you, how I said to my own father, go to hell. Oh, God. How could I say such things? It's sort of like the Father in heaven. You've talked so poorly about Him. You've cursed Him. And like the prodigal, He stands waiting for your return. Because He's blessed you. And He said, what I have blessed will be blessed. That's it. And I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for that? Would you lift your hands with me right now? I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless His holy name. I will bless the Lord forever. How blessed the holy name. Now I'm going to sing it like this now, okay? Oh, I will bless my children forever. I'll bless their righteous name. And I will bless my wife forever. I'll bless her righteous name. You got to make that kind of covenant. That person that you've been angry with or you've been at odds with, you've got to learn to let go of the cursing and bless them and draw them near to your heart. Come on, get up on your feet. Sing it again. I will bless the Lord.
I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless,
God bless you.
Your holy
That's your choice, man.
Name.
Bless the just take your hand and place it on your neighbor today. And just begin to release a blessing into their life. Father, we release the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of healing, the blessing of peace, the blessing of the confidence to know that they are exactly who you made them to be in your image, that today they walk in power and authority in the earth, that they are a prince, that they are a princess walking on this earth from eternity, that they represent a throne that has all power, all dominion, all might, and that they are an agent. They are an agent of heaven to dispense blessing to those who are in need. We bless them today and declare they are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath. They are blessed when they come in. They're blessed when they go out. They're blessed when they walk into the city, when they come out of the city. They are blessed because you have blessed them. In Jesus' name. And all of the church said, amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus this morning. Altar ministers, if you'll make your way forward. Before we move, altar ministers, if you'll come forward quickly. Can we do this together, church, this morning? I was made aware of two people.